Okay, so let's get on. I'll start with chapter one again, okay, guys? All right. You share the screen and I'll just start with chapter one. I'll do it. Start. I'll just show you very briefly because I went over and explained it to you, but let me go back and show it to you again here. Okay. This tells you an introduction of why you should take the class, and you can read all this. I already explained all this to you. As you read this, it tells you why you, it's an introduction that shows you how computers affect your lives and why it's important. Can you see that all now, guys? Everybody can see it? Okay.
Yeah.
And these are network components. Here's a client, here's a server, and here's an internet, here's in the middle, this is the cloud in between. So what you're gonna learn in this class, how this device over here, this client connects with this server, and the routers in between. So this guy over here can talk to a server across the country if he wants to. And that's what you're going to learn in this class, how that works. Now you have one of the peer-to-peer network, as I explained before, is the simplest network you can have. You can do this in your house. If you have a printer connected to your computer, just right-click on it. Even if it's wired, you can right-click on that device, the printer, and share it with everybody else. Then everybody else can use that printer. Or this person over here can right-click on a file folder and share that file folder with other people on the network so this person can get into that file folder to get files. They're easy to set up. They're not very complicated. They don't take a lot of administration, but they do have their problems. They're not very secure, and there's no centralized, there's a way to organize it. Everybody does their own thing, so to speak. There's no central organization. Now, this is what we talked about before with the... This will be talked about before with the with a local area network. So here's a local area network, a LAN. Here's a LAN, and here's the internet network, and these are the routers. So every port on the router will create a new address for a local area network. This port on this router has a local area network. This is a LAN, and it has its own IP address. We'll get into that a little bit later. How does this guy over here communicate with this person over here? Well, the routers talk to each other, and he says, I want to send this to a certain address, and this router will say, well, I have a route to that address. I can send it from here to here, and so then it will send it from here to here, and then that's how it gets, because the routers are talking to each other and updating their routing tables all the time, so that's how the routers are smart enough to transport your message across the country. Now, when we talk about... It's out of the way here. Okay. These are called intermediary devices. These are things, devices that go between endpoints on a network, and they do different things. They regenerate, transmit the communication signals, and I've talked about all this before in a few minutes ago. But so the main thing we focus on in this class are LAN switches and routers, and how you can connect, use these with cabling of different types to create a network and make the network work, and how you can send things through the internet using those devices. These are the media. These are copper media, fiber optic, and wireless. The copper media is usually category 5 cable. It consists of 4 strands. There's 2 wires on each strand, so that's 8 wires altogether. And I'll show you how to make a network cable during the class. So I'll teach you how to do that and how to attach that plug, which is called an RJ45 plug, on the end of it, so it fits into a computer, a network card on a computer. But you do have copper, you have fiber optic, and you have wireless, and they all have their own uses. As I said before, for example, fiber optic is the fastest, but it's not very, it's kind of fragile. So you have to be careful with fiber optic, and it's not something you'd want to put on your desktop and bang it around because you'd probably lose it. You'd probably break very easily. But copper wire is more robust, and you use that. Or a lot of people now, most people use wireless now. I remember when wireless started, it was so slow and nobody wanted to use it. Now everybody uses wireless. That's the way to go. These are network representations and topologies. The topology shows you the outlay, the schematic of all the devices on the network. And they use these as a desktop computer, a laptop, a printer, telepresence, a wireless tablet, an IP phone. And these are intermediary devices, which we connect these things together. Would be wireless routers and switches and routers. And these are the cables that connect them together. So if you want to connect this two of these computers, use a wire, and you probably go through one of these routers or switches. These are just to show you what, when you see those, you'll know what they're talking about, what they mean. Now, we have two kinds of topologies. You have a physical topology and a logical topology. The physical topology refers to where the hardware is stored. All this hardware is in room 2158. This hardware is in room 2124. This hardware is in 2125, 2126, 27, 2127. This down here is in 2159. This device, but there are separate networks in here. This is only the physical, where the stuff is stored, where your routers and switches and the servers are stored. That's what it refers to, the rooms that it's in. That's the physical network. I missed somebody here. It shows you the physical topology, shows you where things are stored physically. Now, sometimes you'll have a router in the school and they'll just put it in the secretary's office or something. It depends where it goes. You usually have MDFs in your school or your business. You'll have an MDF, the main distribution facility, and then IDFs, which are called intermediate distribution facilities. So the main router will be in the main MDF location, and then it will branch out to these other places. But this is the physical topology. That's different than the logical topology. The logical topology organizes the devices based upon their IP addresses, which gives it their network. This is the network right here. Every port on the router has its own network. So it comes off this port on this router, probably a Category 5 cable. It goes into a switch, and then all these other servers are plugged into the switch. But this network here has a network address. It's 192.168.10.0. So the network address is 192.168.10. And I know from experience that 192.168.10, that's the network part of the address. And so this is the network address. Over here, this is a different network. 192.168.100.0. This is another network. Another net. But notice they each come off a port on the router. That's what makes it a network. And then, of course, it branches. They can all go out into the internet. But the logical topology is how they're organized according to networks. So you can put a lot more devices here in this room and on this network. You can put more devices on this network, those switches, the 24 or 48 port switches. And you can put as many devices as you want to on it. But the logical refers to the IP address. We'll spend a lot of time learning about IP addresses and how important they are. This network address is 192.168.100. This one is 192.168.10. They all have different IP addresses. Now, if you wanted to add more devices in here to this network, it'd be 192.168.10.0. This might have the address. This is the overall network addresses, 192.168.10. But this web server might have the address 192.168.10.1. That would be this. Actually, one is usually the device they give to the router. This would be 192.168.10.2. 192.168.10.3, 10.4. And then you can put other devices on and number them using this last number to distribute them. But the first three numbers, there's 8 bits, the first 24 bits, are devoted to the network address. And then the host addresses or the device addresses would come, use this number here on the end. Usually you give the first address to be 192.168.10.1. Usually you do it to the port on the router. That would be that address because that port has an address. And every port on this router has an address. If you have any questions, please call up right away. I'd be happy to answer your questions if you have any. Okay. Just want you to understand these basic concepts. Now you have local area networks and wide area networks. Here's a local area network. Here's a router and it distributes different things. And when it goes through the cloud on the internet, that you're talking about a wide area network. Sometimes it could be a wide area network in a city. It could be in a community, or it could be even a wide area network inside a school. Like, for example, you'll have cabling in a school or a business, and they'll have, it's kind of like a WAN, a wide area network. The demarcation is not really precise. It's just that when you have multiple LANs connected to one network, then the network would be a WAN, and then the local devices would be WANs, LANs. And usually this symbol here, this lightning strike, that usually symbolizes a serial cable as opposed to a Category 5 cable. We'll talk about that later too. Now here, the internet, you got a home local area network, another one, hospital LAN, a government LAN, and they're all connected with networks. These are the big devices on the internet that the AT&T and Sprint and those people use to transmit data across the internet into different routers. So these we don't work too much in those. In the third semester, you'll work with wide area networks, and then you'll learn a lot about these kind of devices here. Intranets and extranets. An intranet covers the whole world. Anybody can communicate around the world with each other. Now, sometimes you have in your company, you might want people from the company, from the internet, to get into your company, and they might have a certain place. Maybe your suppliers will have a place where they can deposit things, you know, where they can communicate with your local area network or your company. And so they can get in here, and that would be called an extranet. An intranet is using a company only. The only people, this only goes inside the company. For example, on my classroom over at Bonita Vista High School, I have an intranet. It's just like a web page, and the students can log onto that web page, and they can download files, and they can submit work, and they can do all the things that they think they're working on the internet, but they're not. It's only confined to my classroom because you can set that up. And if you have a PC, you just go into the settings and you right click and you set up an IIS server, and you can set up an intranet right in your own home if you want to share things with your kids and your family. I'll show you how to do that later on if you're really interested. Now, internet access technologies, the home users, sometimes they use the digital service line, DSL, that used to be very popular, and it is still with some people, use DSL communication over wide area networks. Sometimes they use cable, cellular. Sometimes they use satellites now to communicate, or dial-up telephones. They'll use that also. So these are ways that they communicate through the internet. Business and internet connections, they use dedicated lease lines. For example, they'll buy a line from the AT&T or Sprint, and then it's theirs, and they can just download at really high speeds. These are metropolitan Ethernet, and this are business digital service lines. So there's all kinds of communication going on. You don't have to become an expert in this right now, just to wet your whistle and tell you a little bit about what's going on. Now, talking about converging networks, in the old days, traditional networks were set up, and when I got in networks, I started in computers in 1982. It's the first time I started in, and there was hardly anything going at the time. But you could communicate with people, but it was always through modems things. So here's a device, and you'd have a medium, and usually a serial cable, and a computer network, and the message was to go back and forth. But it was only you only did one-to-one. Down here, the phones would connect to the phones, and the TVs might connect to the satellites. But everything was kind of isolated, and it was there were certain rules that they had to follow, and certain standards they had to follow. But it was only one-on-one. It was not really a very broad technology at the time. And so what they did is finally they came in with what they call converged networks. Now all these devices, all those networks we saw before, now can converge through the internet, and they have certain rules and certain standards that allow that to take place. When you're communicating from this device, say, to this phone or this computer over here, what you're really sending through are pulses of electricity through the wire. That's all. And the pulses are encoded into words. It takes the pulses and converts them into words. Computers don't understand words. They only understand pulses of electricity. Beep, 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 beep. And so they don't understand words. You can't. There's no edtechnology.com or anything like that. All they know is pulses of electricity, and that's how things are set through. There are certain standards and rules. You'll understand a little bit more deep when we get into this more deeply. Just understand now. I'm just giving you a kind of an overview. So network architecture. One of these are things you need to pay attention to in network architecture: fault tolerance, scalability, quality of service, and security. So fault tolerance means that you want to set up a network in a way so that if one router goes down, it picks up an alternate path. So if this person wants to get over to the internet, but he can't, this router goes down, then it knows to switch over to this router. That's called fault tolerance. That's built into networks so that you have an alternate path to go through if they need to. It's redundant connections. Scalability means its ability to grow so that you can have, when you have a network, You want it to be able to grow and get bigger and bigger as your business or your needs get bigger. So the whole network can expand and get bigger all the time. That's what scalability means. And quality of service means it manages the router, ensures that priorities are matched with the type of communication and importance of the organization. Like web pages have a low priority because a web page is nothing but a text file. It's just words on a screen. It's a text file. That's all it is. It's like a Word document, but without all the fancy formatting. That's all a web page is. And but you have voice over IP has a higher priority because it's a more demanding. Or video has more demanding than a simple web page. But the quality of service increases the requirements of networks today. New applications, new things are coming online all the time, and they have to be incorporated into your network. And of course, network security is a big deal now. Administrators have to have a way to secure your network, and they usually do it through logins and passwords, but there are other ways. You'll learn in I think next semester, in the second module, second course here, that you'll learn how to do things called access control lists. Let's say you have a company and you have a main router in your company or your school, and you don't want the teachers to get into the things the administrators can get into, and you don't want the students to get into things that teachers and administrators, you want people, and the maintenance workers, they don't want them to get into other stuff. There's certain things you want to let in and not let in. And you can do that, set that up on a router with things called access control lists. You simply take the IP addresses and you separate them. So then you know all the people that have this group of IP addresses are maintenance people. The people with this group of IP addresses are teachers, and another group is administrators. And so that's what network security is important. And access control lists are one of the things that do that. But Cisco offers a whole class in that right now in security. And so does my other class, the test out class that I offer, that also offers the security module, the security class. It's become a whole new industry all of its own, because so much people are trying to scam other people all the time. So recent trends, you bring your own device. Now people are bringing an iPhone and they're bringing online collaboration. For years, I used an Android phone, and I was just convinced. And all my grandkids were using iPhones, and they said, get a guy. No, I don't want an iPhone. I'm an Android guy. And I just stuck with my Android phone for years and years. And I was the first person in a school to have an iPhone. The last year I bought an iPhone, boy, I was stupid. I think it's amazing. iPhones are so, that you can do so much with them. I'm really impressed. I'm just learning and still learning about it. I don't mean to be salesperson for iPhones, but they're so easy to set up. Make everything so easy. Anyway, but my grandson in the Navy, he's an air traffic controller for the Navy. He's still with Android. He won't change. Okay, guys. So one last thing that they tell, there's a new thing that's coming out. It's called power line networking, where they use the actual electrical cables in your house as a means of communicating from around your house. That's kind of a new technology, the power line connection and wired connection. So that's the last thing we have in here. Security threats are different security threats: viruses, worms, and Trojan horses, spyware and adware, zero-day attacks, threats to actor attacks. When people call you up and they send you an email and they want you to click on something, what they're looking for is your IP address. Once they have your IP address, they know you're a person. They don't know you're alive. They send it out millions of those things. But as soon as you click on something, it sends a message back to them, and now they've got your IP address, and now you really start getting inundated with stuff. I know people that have lost a lot of money doing this. It's a shame, but the security threats are rampant on the internet right now, and you have to be very careful about what you do. All right, guys. Their solutions, they have antivirus, spyware, firewall and filtering using firewalls in your computer, dedicated firewall system, access control list, which I just explained to you, and intrusion prevention, and VPNs, virtual private networks, are also usable. We don't cover these in any great depth, but they're just to make you aware of they exist. Okay, thank you for your attention. We'll go down and get the next one now, which is offers you a little bit more I only have a few slides in this that I want to explain to you, about 14 or 15 slides, and then we'll get in answer some questions if you have any, okay? Here we're going to talk about protocols and rules, okay? The protocols means sets of rules. They're rules. That's what they are. Certain procedures you have to follow. So when you're going through the curriculum, you're going to get a more in-depth discussion of this, but I want you to give you an overview of it so it's make it easier for you to understand the curriculum. And I'll go as quickly as I can. But what we're talking about here are rules and protocol suites and standard organizations and reference models, data encapsulation. These are all seem strange words to you, but we'll explain them as we go. Network protocol requirement. The protocols that are used in network communication share many of the same fundamental traits. They identify the source and the destination, the computer. The network protocols define the details of how a message is transmitted. They do message encoding, which is really taking ones and zeros, or pulse of electricity, which represent a one and a zero, and turning those into words. Message formatting and encapsulation, message size, message timing, and message delivery options. And so that's all the things that protocol requires. They have to have sets of rules to govern all this. How does this work? And they got these kids, that geniuses, that sit there and figure all this stuff out and make it work for all of us. So one of the things you need to understand about networking is that, and you come up with this all the time, let me get this out of the way. Sometimes, here's a network, the red is you want to communicate on the network. So you can have a thing called a unicast. Whenever you see the word unicast, that means it's one computer computing with another computer or device, one-on-one. A multicast is when you communicate, one computer communicates with multiple computers on the network. And then a broadcast is when one computer sends out a broadcast to everybody. Now, IP version 6, sometimes a broadcast will slow you down. So IP version 6, which is a new way of doing IP addresses, it's done away with this. You don't need broadcasts anymore. And that's one of the nice things about IP version 6. But just remember, unicast is one, multicast for multiple people, and broadcast when you're communicating with everyone on the network. So what we have here is we have an IP address and data. This person says, I want to send something across the network using IP version 4, the IP version 4 header, which the IP version 4 header means that there's an IP address in there that has a source and a destination address, and it's using IP version 4. IP version 4, there are four octets, there are 8 bits in each octet, so there's 32 bits in IP version 4. And so I'll explain that in a lot of detail next week when we get into that in a little more detail. But just on IP version 4 uses 32 bits, okay? And it's usually a binary. It's multiplied 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. You can get a pretty big number, but using IP version 4, we ran out of addresses because there's so many things that have IP addresses now, we just ran out. So they came out with IP version 6, which is uses hexadecimal. It's a base 16 numbering system, and there's 128 bits. There are more addresses on there to give every device for the next 1,000 years can have an address. That's how big that number is. But anyway, get back to where we're going. This guy here wants to send a message across the network. So it goes through a routers, and it has an IP header here, which contains the source and the destination address, and then the data itself, the email that he typed in. It goes through the routers, and it gets to the destination. He can accept this because he understands IP version 4. He understands what that means and how the message is encoded. And it has certain characteristics of that address that he knows how it works. Now, hypertext transfer protocol, these are all protocols or sets of rules that they use to communicate. So what you have is you have a damn thing out of the way here. So you have a hypertext transfer. HTTP is what they use in internet. That's what internet pages use, HTTP. Transmission control protocol is TCP, internet protocol is IP, and then Ethernet. And they divide it up into different things, like Ethernet works at layer 1. The IP address works at layer 3. This is Ethernet works with layer, this layer two, and this is layer three. TCP is layer four. That's where the transmission control, and they all do just different things. They have different purposes. So that's why they divide it up, because each of these, every of these things are sets of protocols or sets of rules for making how internet is, how things are going to be transferred across the internet. So in the old days, this is like, what we use today is, just look right here. This is what we use today, right here. You divide up, you have a layer, it's called application layer, transport layer, internet layer, network access layer. So when you, certain things occur at the internet layer, they use IP version 4 and IP version 6. That's a way of writing addresses and sending addresses. At the transport layer, you have TCP and UDP. Transmission control makes a connection between two computers on the internet. It connects them two together and makes sure that the data gets there reliably. That's what TCP does. UDP is user datagram protocol. All that does is when you send something, like if you're going to ping somebody, you can send out a ping to a certain address and will come back and come back with an answer to you. It's just telling you that it exists, and UDP doesn't do any, doesn't care if the message gets there or not. It's just a down and dirty, it sends it and then forgets about it. But TCP, once it sends out a message, it meant to make sure it gets there right, and it checks things, and it work. We'll spend a whole time, whole lesson talking about TCP. Then the application layer is where you write your email itself, and they can use HTTP, Hypertext Transfer Protocol, that's the internet where the internet works on. DNS is domain name servers. Let me explain to you what the domain name server is. If you type in www.edtechnology.com, Peter don't know what that means. You can't, that's not going to get you anywhere. But they have servers all around the internet called DNS servers, domain name servers. And it has edtechnology.com. And they have an IP address associated with my address, with that name. And what it does, the DNS server does, it looks up that name and substitutes the IP address. And now you can start moving through the internet because you have a number. You can't use a words to go through the internet. You have to have the number. So it's these DNS servers have lists of web pages and endpoints, and they have the IP address associated with them, and it substitutes the IP address for the name. That's how you move across the internet. And so then you got DHCP, and then what this does is it gives, when you turn on your network, it'll give instead of giving every device on your network a separate address manually, typing it in there, a DHCP server, when you turn it on in a local area network, it keeps a list of IP addresses that are available and sends them out to all the computers on your network. And then file transfer protocol, which I'll explain to you what that is in a minute. These are all like Apple Talk and Novell Network. First time I set up a network of the Novell, it was a nightmare. I had a whole box of this and it took me forever, and I don't think I ever did get it working right. But this is an old technology. This is an old technology. So is this. But really what we're using now is TCP, and everybody's using Ethernet, okay? And ARP, and we'll talk to you about what that means later on. But this gives you this, at this layer is where you access the internet. Here you write your email, and as it goes down through this stack, certain things are added to it until finally it turns into numbers, and then those numbers are sent over the internet. So here you've got the stack again, application, transport, internet, and network access. And here certain things happen to your email as you're sending it through. It goes through all these processes. These are all sets of rules or processes. And that's what allows it to turn into numbers that can be sent across the internet. Starts out as a regular email, and then by the time it gets down to the bottom, it's turned into ones and zeros, and it's sent out on the internet so everybody can read it. Now, here's all the things that happen at the application layer. There are four layers, and all these things are possible to happen. For example, the name system, the main name service, also DHCP version 4 and version 6. There's simple mail transfer, different kinds of email you can send out. File transfer protocol and all these different things, trivial file transfer protocol, web services, all these things take place at the application layer. And there are separate sets of rules for all this stuff. Don't worry about understanding it completely right now. Just get the overall view of it. The transport layer, it uses either TCP or UDP. Transport TCP will make a connection, and it will make sure that your stuff you send gets there. and gets there quickly. But UDP doesn't care if it gets there or not. You send something that's using UDP, it just sends it out. If it gets there, okay. If it doesn't, too bad. The internet layers where you're using addresses, IP addressing, like 192.168, whatever. IP version 4 and IP version 6 we're using, and network address translation, NAT. I'll cover that at a later time, but that's also a protocol. Protocol is a set of rules that happen at that layer. In messaging, is the ICMP version 4 or 6, and then routing protocols, which you'll get in semester 4 or semester 3 in third class. These are sets of rules for sending things across the internet through the broadband and out from one part of the world to the next part of the world. And you can use OSPF, open shortest path first, or IGRP, which is a Cisco protocol, or enhanced IGRP, which they use now, border gateway protocol. And you'll learn all of these things when you take your third course about routing protocol. Remember, a protocol is just a set of rules. And then finally, network access, where you actually get on the wires and send the thing out and use the address resolution protocol, ARP. It uses Ethernet and uses the WLAN. Okay, all these things take place at the network access layer. Now, you have a thing called encapsulation and decapsulation. Let me get this out of the way. How can I make this thing collapse here? Let us get out of the way temporarily. Encapsulation means that when you write your email, all it means that you're going to write your email, and as you, it's data when you write it. And when it goes down the level, remember they've got that four-layer thing? When it gets down to the TCP layer, it's mm-hmm. broken up into a segment. Then it goes down mm-hmm. to the next layer, and it's given an IP address. And then it gets down to the last layer, it's broken into a frame. So when you started out with an email, which was data, it's transmission control added information to it. Then it gave an IP address and an Ethernet. And then it's built into what they call a frame. This is pulses of electricity. There are ones and zeros, but they're pulses of electricity going through the wire. And there's a certain pattern of ones and zeros that tell where this frame starts, and another pattern that tells where it ends. And that's how this frames this goes through. So your email is not goes out as one big blob. It goes broken up into little pieces, and it scurries through the internet just like little gerbils all over the place. And then they're put together at the destination with a thing called a sequence number. But everything is done with frames, and that's what we're going to have. The frame is created, but it starts out as data, and as it goes down through these layers, different things happen to that data. It's transformed and changed into ones and zeros. And I have a little graph to show you how that works. So these are the agencies that really in charge of doing that. These people work in these agencies that come up with the new forms of new rules and new protocols for sending, sharing things across the internet. So here we've got two protocols here. A network model is only a representation of a network operation. It's not an actual, this doesn't really exist inside your computer. And so what you do is these people over here want to communicate these people over here, and they have to go through the internet. It has to go through steps. Now, we've been talking about the TCP/IP model, which has application, transport, internet, and network access. Information happens. This is the one we more commonly use, we've been using for years. This is called the OSI model. And you need to memorize what these steps are. And the way to do it is, we always do it, please do not throw sausage pizza away. Please do not throw sausage pizza, because sometimes they'll say, what's layer 3? You need to know it's the network layer. Please do not, N. So that we know that's a network layer. So what happens as you write your email, it goes down. Now, TCP model combines these three layers into one layer. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Question. So what happens is it uses these protocols, these sets of rules, when it's to work on your email. Then it goes down to TCP or UDP. I explained that to you. That happens at the transport layer, and the transport layer is the same in both models, whether it's the OSI or the TCP model. And they use IP version 6 or IP version 4, and that's at the network layer. They call it the internet layer. The OSI model calls it the network layer. Then it goes down to the data link layer, and then the data link layer, that's where it prepares the frame, gets it ready to go out on the internet. And so the data link layer uses a physical address, which I'll explain to you what that is in a minute, to get it ready to go out on a frame and go on the internet. And then here's the network access, and there away you go. So the different models used for different things, but remember that if you can, please do not throw salted pizza away. Sometimes they'll ask you on a test, they'll say, instead of referring to the transport layer, they'll say layer four. You have to know what they're talking about. So try to memorize it. Okay. I'm sorry, what was it?
I have a question, Professor. So yeah. All the raiders are the, so the most, the more raiders, how do you call it, raiders? The more protection is going to be around messages and the computers?
The more what?
Raiders?
Raiders?
Raiders, yeah.
And clarify,
the TV4, sure. The TV4, I think you called it, the more, hold on, I have it. You explain this, those circles right here, the one that have this, the middle there, the more we have those around the computers, is going to be safer?
Well, it's safer. It's just a way of looking at it. That's all. This doesn't really exist. It's just a set of rules that take place as the data goes from email to ones and zeros on the internet. And what it does to the email, how it breaks down. That's what it talks about. It converts your email into ones and zeros down here at this layer. It does different things at different layers. But this does not really exist for real. It's just this process. Did that answer your question?
Yes, Professor, yes.
Okay. Let me go on to the next slide here. So here's, it tells you what each of these application layers do. I'm not going to read them all to you. You can read them yourself, but I explain basically what they do, and you can read this for yourself, and I would encourage you to read this through. This came right out of the curriculum. Now, you have a segmentation and multiplexing. If you had the internet, and this person's writing an email, if his entire email, the whole message, went out on the internet, it would bog down and slow down. Nobody would be able to do anything. Because it's long message, or this other guy's got a long movie he's sending, and everybody would have to wait for the movie to be sent, or wait for the email to be sent, or wait for the document to be sent, or whatever, the book. And it just takes too long. So what it does is, the internet breaks things up into little packets, and the packets are sent separately. So this guy's email could be sent up into multiple packets, and those packets go out on the internet, so you break it up into separate packets. And then those packets go through the EMS and it goes faster because they're smaller pieces. And he may find different routes of going it. One group of packets might go through one router, another packet will go through a different router. And then multiplexing is when you take turns. Instead of this guy getting hogged in the wire, other people on the wire will get a chance to send their stuff in. So he'll send it out, and then this person will have a chance to send theirs out. And so they multiplexing means you're taking turns with people sending things. Then there could be multiple people attached here, and they're all taking turns sending things through the wire. But the main point is that it's broken up into little pieces. It would, if you had to send a big humongous book or movie through the internet, everybody would have to wait and wait and wait for that movie to be sent through. No, they break it up into pieces, and then it goes and it's reconstructed at the other end. So this guy's email will be broken up into multiple pieces, but each one of them will have what is called a sequence number. It may take different routes to get there. It might go through different routers. But when it gets to the destination, TCP puts it back in order because it has a sequence number on it. So it says, this is number one, this is packet number two, and packet number three, four, puts it together. It does, it happens really fast at the speed of light. It's amazing how fast it happens. But then your message is put together and you can read it. Now here's sequencing is multiple pieces are labeled for easy direction. Excuse me. Multiple pieces are put together, and here I just explained that to you before. They're given a sequence number, and her stuff goes through, and his stuff goes through, and they take turns going to the server. So it's sequencing means giving it a number, so it might go out of sort, it might go out of order when it gets on the way, on its way to the destination. But at the destination, TCP will put it back in order. Here's your email address. Again, this is talking about protocol data units, which is another name for encapsulation. So here you got your email. It's broken up into little pieces, little the shrink parts. Your email is. Then it goes to the transport layer and it puts a what they call a transport header on there, which contains a sequence number and also. Then it goes down to the network layer and it's given a network header, which contains the source address and the destination address. Then the transport is added to it. Then it gets down here and it's given a frame header, which is tells it where the frame starts and ends. And so then it sends it into ones and zeros and out on the wire it goes. That's how your email gets through the wire. It's broken up into pieces. Things are added to it as it goes down through the OSI model or the data or the TCP/IP model. And then it's broken into ones and zeros and the ones and zeros go out and then what happens when it gets to the other end? This is what happens. It goes out one way, okay, broken down into pieces, encapsulation, it goes across the internet, and then it's as it gets to the other end, the reverse happens. Goes through the bits go through, they're ones and zeros. Then at this end, it's still intact. It gets up here, it takes this part off. When it gets to this layer, it's taken off, and then when it gets up to the sequence number or session number, excuse me, is broken up into data parts, and then your email is put back together. So they take it apart and they put it back together. They add things on it so it can be easily transported across the internet. And they're just sets of rules. That's all they are. So you have the physical network as timing and synchronization, the data link layer. Each of the layers on the network do certain things. And this little graphic tells you what they do. And you can read that for yourself and understand what they do. The physical layer is the bottom. The data link layer is the next layer up. The network is the third layer up. Fourth is a transport layer. And then the upper layers encode the application data. It tells you what each of those layers do. Now, let me explain something to you. This is not in the curriculum, but I think you need to know it. Every computer or router has two addresses. You have a physical or MAC address that's burned into the network card. When you buy a network card, you have it has a physical address on it. It's distributed by these companies, and no two network cards have the same address. It's a physical address burned into the network card at the factory. The logical addresses are assigned by the computer or by people. It's a lot like 192.168.10.3. That's a logical address. But the physical address is a hexadecimal number that's burned into the network card. And it's really what nearly you communicate. You're really seeking out the physical address to communicate from one place to another. Different devices use the physical address, like switches. And layer two in the OSI model, they use the physical address to communicate. So the IP addresses are used here at the network layer. At the data link layer, they use the MAC address. So what you're really doing is you take this IP address and then the MAC address is on the data link layer and turns into ones and zeros and out on the network. But remember that there's a physical or MAC address and a logical address on every computer. Now, we only have a couple more slides to go. I know you're probably getting bored here, but this is the original source. Here's PC1, his address is 192.168.1.110. And it's broken up into packets. It's a source IP, and here's the address, 110. The destination is this IP address, 172.16.1.99. There's the address right here. This is the source, this is the destination. That's all part of the IP packet header. And then so it's actually added to that when it goes through. This guy, he knows what his address is. Where he's going to send it to is added to the header, and then the routers can use that information to forward it through the network. Here's another representation of it. Devices on the same network, it's a little of a conflict. Here's what it does. Let's say this guy's on the same network. His address is 192.168.1.19. His address is 192.168.1.110. So what they will do is, this guy will say, he doesn't send out the MAC address. This MAC address is burned into his computer. His MAC address CCC is burned into his server. He'll say, I want to send something out to 192.168.1.110. Well, it'll go out on the network and everybody in the network will receive that IP address. There's all other devices on there. And they'll say, oh, that's not mine. That's not mine. I ignores it. But then this guy said, oh, that's my IP address. So what he does is he sends back his MAC address to this guy. Then he forwards the device out to the MAC address. So they use the IP address to get the MAC address. So here you have this on the same network. This is how you can communicate in the same network. But this is one network because it's coming off a port on the router. Every port on the router creates a new network. The network here is 192.168.1. 192.168.1. Then the his device is 9. His device is 110. What about if you're going to different networks? Well, then you got a data link frame. The destination, here's the destination MAC address. Here's the source MAC address. Here's the source network address and the destination network address. It also uses a thing called ports, and I won't get into that now. It makes it more complicated, but I will explain it to you later time. It also uses port numbers. But PC1 wants to send something across the internet. He wants to send a message out here to this person over here. Well, it goes through the same process, but it goes through the routers. And each of these routers has their own IP address. His address is 192.168.1.110. This router has 192.168.1.1, 172.16.1.1. Each of the routers have their own IP address, each port on the router. So this is like a little network inside the internet. And then it goes over, and what they do is they send back their MAC address, and that's where they use the MAC address to send it from one place to another. Switches use the MAC address quite a bit. So I want to thank you for your attention. I hope I didn't bore you too much. Let me just stop sharing here and stop recording. I'm not used to this new... Somebody help me. Where do I stop the recording? Stop recording.